All right. Like I said before, we swear him in April, and we swear at him in May.
Mm-hmm.
This is another guy who wants to be the mayor of Chicago. He wanted to be it before Rahm Emanuel dropped out, and now Rahm Emanuel's dropped out. And what does it mean for Gary McCarthy? What does it mean for Gary McCarthy?
Well, you know what it means, guys. First of all, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What it means is people will no longer be afraid to be supporting me behind the scenes. They'll be coming forward and putting their support public, because the mayor had so many people terrorized because of his reputation for treachery. And people were afraid of that. So it's going to make it a lot easier for this democratic process to move forward in the fashion that it was designed to do.
It's already a crowded field, Gary, and you wonder, now you keep hearing so many names floating of people who now feel as if they will enter the race too, because the mayor is out, the incumbent. What does that do to the race? I mean, having so many people to try to get your message out to the people.
Yeah, it makes it difficult, but, you know, I really have to question the fortitude of anybody who was waiting for Rahm Emanuel to drop out to decide that they're going to come in. Either you're interested in trying to save Chicago or you're not. It's not whether or not you can beat Rahm Emanuel or you could beat anybody else in the field. So I really got to question, you know, like I said, the fortitude of those individuals if somebody else does decide now to step up.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I understand why you're saying that. It's a smart political thing to say, but the reality is that there are people who just didn't want to that realized that they were fishing off the same pier. They needed the alliances moving forward, and now a guy like, you know, we've heard everything from Barack Obama down as a rumor today, but I mean, I think that there's some legitimate, you know, whether it's Luis Gutierrez or even Valerie Jarrett that get into it, they're going to be very, very well funded. Does this, in terms of, let's just talk about money for just a short answer here. Does this help you in fundraising, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. For the same reason that I said that people are will not be afraid now to support us.
Okay, so you know,
everybody was watching every single donor, and you know, the mayor's people are going through them with a fine-tooth comb and embarrassing people. I mean, this isn't okay. It's not about the people who are supporting us. It's about the candidates and the policies. And by the way, Ro, I didn't say what I said before to be politically correct. I absolutely mean it. If you have an interest in saving Chicago, then you should have stepped up already. And I'm not being politically correct.
No, I'm not saying you're being politically correct. It's just a politically. It's a. I get every candidate is saying every candidate's already in it is saying the exact same thing. But in the next couple of weeks, you're going to get new. There's going to be new blood. I think some people are going to drop out now, and then some new people are going to be coming in. So it's going to, you know, sort of how one prepares for that eventuality. All right, let's talk about the city then. Obviously, another tough weekend. Running against what Rahm Emanuel has done, I guess people can still do. You know, we have to change the way that the city is run. But now it's really kind of this, you know, this is a wide open race. And this is more about your vision and less about what's wrong with the current situation. So what right. is your vision for this summer, which has been a tragedy and a little bit of triumph, but a lot of tragedy? Where do we had Paul Vallis on? He wants 14,200 police officers. What do you think there should be?
Well, I think there should be a workload analysis, not just throwing out a number, because that's what people want to hear. Look, you know when the last workload analysis was done in the Chicago Police Department? It was done right after I got here, because we did it. And we came up with what we thought were the right numbers. And by the way, let's not forget how those numbers went. You know, we had 50-year lows in the murder rate. It's not as important how many people you have. It's more important what they're doing. And right now, since they don't have the support, the officers are not doing the things that they were doing before. And it's pretty obvious. So my vision for the city
Can
is
Can I
pretty
stop
simple.
On that for 1 second? Because that's an important point. The officers are not doing what they were doing before. What define that for me.
Well, getting out of the cars. How's that? Because anytime you get out of the car, you're putting yourself in jeopardy. This is what officers are telling me. So getting out of the car and doing proactive police work has become a thing of the past in the city of Chicago. And the saying is, and I quote, nobody wants to be the next headline.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be the next headline. But Now I'm going to go back and answer your question, Mo. You asked, what is my vision? Business management of City Hall. Not the politics as usual. Not the patronage. Not the pay-for-play and the corruption. Which, by the way, speaking of which, somebody needs to ask the mayor if he's going to give all that money back now. Just think about that. He's collected, what, $10 million?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to walk away with that? That's criminal.
Well, that's a question. We'll see what happens there.
He runs for another office or what he chooses to do.
Or he gives it back. You can give it back.
We just heard Paul Vallis also talk about the need for experienced detectives, saying that with the retirement rates, that there's so few of them on the job right now that actually have any real experience. And you've got this 17% clearance rate on the murders in the city, an even lower rate of clearance for shootings. And you've literally got people getting away with this kind of activity for a number of reasons. But is the low number of detectives, is that something else, or the experienced detectives, something else that you would advise?
Well, like I said, Anna, we need to do a workload analysis to make those determinations. Just simply throwing out numbers and things like that isn't going to do it. What is the right number based on analysis? If somebody has an analysis to this, then please let me know.
Okay, because so how do we do that? How do we get the analysis?
You conduct it. You look at a workload analysis. Every business in the world does it.
Do you do it externally or you do it internally?
You mean, do you hire somebody to come in and do it?
Or do they do it internally?
We could do that. You could do it internally. You could do it that way. That's fine. But here's the point that nobody seems to get. If you want to talk about clearance rates, we need to talk about the fact that two consecutive chiefs of detectives, 65 years of experience, were pushed out the door in the political witch hunt. So it may not even be the fact that we need more detectives. It might be that we need different leadership and more experienced leadership.
And you would invite some of those guys back, you think? Is that a good plan? Because that's one of the things Vallis
says. I don't think they can come back once they... Oh, you're talking about the actual investigators.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ro, I'm not going to answer questions that I don't know the answer to, and the answers have to come after you do analysis. Not just because you say it's politically expedient to say that we're going to hire more detectives, we're going to hire this. So everybody loves the number, I'm going to hire 1,000 more police.
Right.
What if we only need 500? And what if we actually need 1,500?
So I want to go back to,
because say this is what we're going to do.
You're uniquely qualified to answer this question. So every other politician is running in this race right now can't really answer this. So what do you say to the men and women of the Chicago Police Department who are afraid to get out of their cars right now? And this has been going on, you know, for even prior to the shooting of Laquan McDonald. But I mean, this obviously highlights it it highlights the difficult work that police officers have to do and the crazy split second kind of decision that they have to make that could be life-altering. How do you get the men and women, we'd have a police, you know, former police superintendent, mayor, how would you win their trust back that they know that they're going to be able to go out and do their jobs as long as they're doing it legally and with enough compassion that allows them to, you know, to continue to do it?
Well, you do it by starting with backing them up publicly when they do something right and showing publicly that you're not going to support any sort of criminal activity. Do you realize that when CPD marched onto the Dan Ryan Expressway, they were committing a crime? and that's not okay. Police in uniform should have been subject to arrest for violating the law. They're subject to arrest when they violate the law in other cases. So you got to realize just such a bad place that we're in. And when the officers see that that's what the leadership of this department is doing, that's what the leadership of this city is condoning, you realize on Lakeshore Drive, the city closed down Lakeshore Drive to facilitate the illegal activity of occupying Lakeshore Drive. We've reached lawlessness. So we have to first identify the problem. The problem is the politics that have been fueling that. So you got to come out and say, you got to call balls and strikes. If they're right, you say they're right. If they're wrong, you say they're wrong. But how about the fact that we have a video of a guy pulling a gun from a holster that he's wearing? We have body cam showing this, and yet we have protests for days after showing that video.
Right.
And then they release the video but won't comment on it. I'm the only candidate not even the police superintendent, not the mayor, came out and said, well, look, you got a guy grabbing a gun from a holster that we already saw. You want the officer to wait to get shot? I'm the only candidate who said, at first blush, unless I find something else out during the investigation, that looks like a justified shooting.
Yeah.
It starts there.
Let me throw a totally different thing in the last minute that we have here, last couple of minutes. In terms of property taxes in Chicago, we were just talking about this as well.
Yeah.
Chicago's become a very difficult city to live in unless you have a lot of money, right? In downtown and in neighborhoods that either people want to move into if they're coming, you know, out of grad school or whatever it is. What is your plan for property tax alleviation or some form of creating an environment here in which there is affordable housing for the middle class?
Well, it starts by not putting 31% of our property taxes towards TIF funding, which results in political kickbacks for the mayor. I don't know if anybody realizes this. The TIF funding took up 31% of our property taxes this year. And what is happening with that? It's supposed to be used by state law for blighted neighborhoods for generating an economy. And what's happening is it's being used at places like Block 37 or Navy Pier. And then what happens is these developers now make campaign donations to the mayor. So it starts by making sure that we're doing needs-based spending, not political spending. He was going to announce a $10 million refurbishing of the Riverwalk on the Monday after 74 people got shot in the city. I mean, come on, just look at what's been going on. He would do that because he was in with the lakefront crowd and the 1% that's been supporting him the whole time. So that's political spending. We got to get in the black before we can start paying the pensions back. And the way to do it is to stop wasting money on a $62 million flyover bike path for downtown, and we need to start putting social services in the places where they're needed the most to stop people from getting killed. Nothing's going to change in this city until we first make it safe. People are leaving the city. We have to stop the exodus because with it goes our tax base all at the same time. And they're leaving the city because of gun violence and high taxes.
Rats. Also rats. I hear that a lot, too.
We're number one.
I guess that's the big issue, because I know people know your record on crime and certainly familiar with the changes that you have proposed for the department, but it's on the other issues, the budget issues that are facing this city, where I think you are more of a question mark to people. People need to hear more of your ideas, because we are in a crisis. We do have a situation here where people keep leaving the city, and we have this pension problem that doesn't go away, and you still want to offer services, more police officers and et cetera, education, mental health, and those kinds of things that people are desperately calling for in the city. How do you balance all of that?
Well, they're all interrelated, first of all. People are leaving the city because of gun violence and high taxes. And because we don't have a tax base, we all have to pay more taxes. And as a result of not having that tax base, we're closing schools and pulling social services from the places that need them the most. So you can't separate those issues out. And the other thing, Anna, that people need to realize is that it's not that I'm just a police officer. I'm a manager. I've managed large, diverse organizations for a very, very, very long time. And I was at the top of city government in three major cities in this country. So I know how to manage budgets. I know how to manage finances. I know how to manage an education system, because we were taught business management. And you get the right people, you put them in the seats, you give them the authority, and you hold them accountable for making these things happen. Performance-based government, not the thing that we're accustomed to here, which is politics. Politics, politics, and more politics, and it's failing. It's what's got us to this position. Nothing in this city is being managed. There's zero customer service in City Hall. You probably get treated better in places like Cook County Jail than if you go up to try and get a permit for building something in City Hall.
All right.
So you got to run the city like a business, and it just hasn't been done.
All right, Gary McCarthy. Well, interesting day.
It's a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, interesting Gary. Day. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right,